Hey guys, welcome to Overflow. It's really good to see some new faces, well, returning faces, and some old ones. But as you might know, my name is Bear, also known as Jacob, and we are in the sermon series, Oh, What a Great Day. And I'm actually closing for this week. So over the last few weeks, we've been focusing on how every day can be a great day when God's in the picture. And we heard from Merganser, she's leaving, but bye Mer. We heard from her how peace is something worth fighting for, and it's something we're called to pursue. And then a couple weeks ago, we heard from Alan and how our superpower is God, and that there's a lot we can do with him through our faith. And then last week, I talked on how our weakness is God's strength. Like, God is at his strongest when we're at our weakest. So this week, I'm going to be closing, and the sermon series has been kind of focused on the Beatitudes, but we've missed a few overflows, so I was like, hey, let's just do all the Beatitudes. So I'm going to do all the Beatitudes. So that's going to be fun, and it's going to end on a note that not a lot people were expecting, because the Beatitudes are super cool, but they end on a kind of confusing note. So the main purpose of this message is the blessing of being hated. And now I know not a lot of people like to be hated or even disliked. Like, I know that's true for me. Like, I have this tendency of being like, hey, do you think that person likes me? Because I just want to know, like, if they don't like me, is there anything I can do about that? Or, like, what's up? So, like, not a lot of us like to be hated, like, especially me, but it's something we have to deal with. And, in fact, we find in Scripture that we're going to be hated for our faith. And we can find that in a few pieces of Scripture, but we're not called to return that hate with hate. In fact, we're called to love in that return. So, Jesus makes that pill easier to swallow by giving us the Beatitudes beforehand. Jesus gave us hope and to build us up, and before giving us the truth of the reality of the world we live in. And that there'll be people that hate us for our faith. So, like I said, we're going to be focusing on the Beatitudes, but to make it easier to understand for myself and for y'all, I'm going to be breaking it down into three sections. The first couple verses, I'm going to be focusing on how that's more eternally based, so how we react to things. And then the other verses are going to be how we act towards other people. And then the last couple verses are how other people act towards us. So let's just get into it. But before we get into it, I know, I was like, let's get into it, and now I'm like, we're not getting into it quite yet. I want to give you context about the Beatitudes. Now, the Beatitudes were the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Now, my study Bible, it says that the Sermon on the Mount is possibly the most famous sermon in all of religious literature. So, like, it's got some context. It wasn't just all Christian literature, it was all religious literature. So with that, it's pretty lit. Like, it's pretty good scripture. Like, it's actually one of my most favorite pieces of scripture just because of the devastation Jesus lays on the crowd. Not like, pew pew, have fun in hell, pew pew. Like, the straight facts that he lays on people. Like, there's a part where Jesus is all like, hey, if you sin with one eye, gouge it out, because it's better to go into heaven than to be thrown into hell. It's like, okay, and gouge out my eye. That's cool. Yeah. So, like, that's just the straight facts that Jesus has spitting, and it is amazing. But before he even gets into that, he starts with the Beatitudes. So the Beatitudes are found in Matthew 5, 3 through 12. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to open them up. If not, it's going to be on the screen. So it starts with verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evils against you. Rejoice and be glad. Be grateful. Because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Do y'all feel blessed? I mean, a little bit. Like, that last part is like, huh. But I'll get into that. Like, the other parts are like, yeah, so blessed. And if you don't, give this message a try, and hopefully you'll feel a little blessed at the end, if not just blessed. Like, that's the goal. So, let's just focus on the scripture that focuses more on the eternal, like the internal process and how we feel and deal with ourselves. We can see this perspective in verses 3 through 5. As you know, because we literally just read them, verses 3 and 5 go like this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Like, these verses always stood out to me in my life, because it's like, yeah, I feel for those. Like, they're the type of verses that you can just feel in your heart. Like, you read them, and you just like, yeah, I feel that. Like, and as you know, like last week, I talked on verse 5, which is the meek one. And I felt meek or weak all of my life. Like, there wasn't a day that goes by where I didn't see myself as strong enough or the person that I was called to be. And with that, that just made my spirit really poor. Like, it wasn't the best spirit. It wasn't rich in life, it was, like, poor in life. And I just lived my whole life questioning everything. Like, if I'm going to be completely honest with y'all, I, for most of the time when I preach, I don't think I do a good job. Like, that's just something that I struggle with, because there's something deeply rooted in me that says that I'm not good enough, or there's someone better cut out for this. But when I read these verses, it just reassures me that I'm doing what God's calling me to do. Not in the sense that they're like, they say, hey, Jake, you're doing a great job, keep it up. It's more of God telling me through my heart. When I read these, I feel something in my heart. Because I know there are people who are great at speaking. Like, I've heard them. I've heard them speak here. Like, my mentor, Austin, has, like, he preached on this very stage. And he's, like, one of my favorite speakers. And I can only try to be as good as him. But I'm not called to be Austin. I'm called to be me. And if I were to give up just because I think I'm doing a good job, I'm not going to be happy with that. Like, God called me to do the job that he wants me to do and pursue it with all my being. So that's what I kind of get from verses 3 and 5. But verse 4 is a bit harder to understand. Verse 4 really took me a while to fully understand. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed is the last thing I feel whenever I lose a loved one. And I've lost quite a few people in my life that it's still a wound that hurts today. And it's hard to grasp the comfort in that. Because the fact of the matter is, there's not much of anything that people can do on this planet to make that blow any easier. This was especially prevalent in my high school years. In high school, I lost a lot of friends and classmates, either to car accidents or suicide. But God showed up in a lot of crazy ways. The first time that I lost a friend, she died in a car accident, and I walked to her funeral from school, and it was just somewhere I needed to go. And that was the first time I've ever felt God, like, hold me. Like, that was the first time I've ever felt God's embrace. And in that embrace, I found peace. God provides comfort to those who mourn, And that's just a fact. That's a truth. There's not much of anything that anyone can do, like I said, for people who are mourning. But there is comfort in God. So with these three Beatitudes, we can see how God is with us in our trials and our hardships. And now the next four show us how God encourages us to be and how to act. Verses 6 through 9 show us behaviors we should strive to have, and if we have them, how we're already blessed. They really encourage us to treat others the way God treats us. We can see this, and we can see how he has everything under control in verse 6, which says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Now, I think the phrasing is really important in this verse because it's not putting any of that righteousness work in our hands. Because fact of the matter is, we can't earn or get our righteousness. It simply says, "For they will be filled." How? By Jesus and God. It's just a matter of accepting it. If we were to be filled by our own standings, it wouldn't be anywhere good compared to how God fills us. Like, our righteousness is so much better in God's hand than it is ours. And then verse 7 and 9 really encourage us to treat others the same way God treats us. Looking back at all of them, all the things that those actions produced is pretty amazing. Like, I need mercy. I'm sure all of us need mercy. And I'm sure all of us want to see God. We can't right now because our eyes would melt. It's tricky, but like, Isaiah saw a vision of God and he was blind for a good minute. And then who doesn't want to be called a child of God? I mean, he's a good dad or a good parent. And if these Beatitudes ended like this, like if they ended on verse 9, it'd be like, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about life. Like, this is pretty sweet. Like, I really enjoy this. Thanks, Jesus. But Jesus just had to keep talking. It's like, I thought we were good. Thanks. But then he starts with verse 10 and 12, and it's like, how people are going to treat us. It's like, so when we read verses 10 through 12, it really confuses me because it's a mixture of really nice things that come from really bad things. Like, these things are blessings because they happen and they're not fun to happen. Like, as a reminder, verses 10 through 12 read, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." What? Like, how many of you feel blessed when someone insults you? Like, or speaks all kinds of evils about you? Like, if I were to be all like, "Oh, Josh is a great guy," and then Josh leaves the room, it's like, man, Josh is just a real jerk. Like, and then Josh comes back to find out that I was saying this, would you feel blessed? No. Like, it's not something that people feel blessed when they're insulted or, like, persecuted. But he's saying, you're blessed, and rejoice and be glad. He's like, okay, Jesus, how is this making any sense? Like, and it's hard for me to wrap my head around, but Jesus said this because he knew the reality of that we were facing for being his followers. He's not of the world, and he doesn't make sense in a worldly perspective, so he needed to prepare us for the inevitable. Like, God and Jesus are so much better and greater than the world, and they love us so much more than the world could ever do. And with that, those blessings come when we experience hate, and we grow from it. Like, knowing that Jesus did the same, like, Jesus did what he knew was right, and he didn't waver to the Pharisees. Like, Jesus preached the truth without asking if it was okay, and he knew what the world needed, and he was unapologetic in his love, and he flipped a table here and there. But we know that we might face judgment when we're all like, I'm a Jesus follower, I have a cross necklace, I like God. We know that like in high school or like in wherever we are, that we might be all like, oh, you like God? You're stupid. Science is the thing, like evolution, explain that, Christians. And it's like, okay, that's an argument that I don't think you're connecting all the dots, but like, all right, we know that people in our society just judge us for being Christians. Like, we might face judgment here and there for what we believe, but we have it easy compared to what Jesus had to face. Like, Jesus was saying what everyone else believed, and he still died for it. Like, if we talk about Jesus and God in our community of people who aren't believers, they're not going to nail us to a cross. They're not going to whip us or put a crown of thorns on our heads. They're going to be like, that's a silly thought. But we still don't talk about Jesus, or we still don't show his love. The blessing in facing the hate by talking about Jesus or showing Jesus is knowing that he did that. Like, he died so that people can know God. Like, I'm sorry. Like, not sorry. But, like, the blessing about talking about Jesus and showing Jesus to people who hate us is that there are two responses that can happen. And that is, they either come to know God, or they think about what you said and come to know God later. Like, we're so afraid of what other people think of us. Like, I'm speaking for myself. Like, if anyone's guilty of this, it's me. Like, I can't convict anyone if I'm not convicted. Like, there are times where I feel called to share some love on other people, and maybe talk to them about God or tell them about my life and how God's impacted it, but I refuse to do it. Just because someone might judge me for it. And that's not what we're called to do. Jesus faced like the death on the cross so that we could know him and everyone can know him. Jesus didn't die just for the people who are going to eventually know him. Jesus died for the world. The world that is full of sin and full of evil. Not saying that people are evil, but there's evil that tempts people. Like, I'm guilty of that, and I know that I can't speak for everyone, but I know I'm guilty of that. But when we choose to love God and love others like God loves us without the fear of judgment, the blessing is knowing that Jesus did that first. Like, yeah, there are going to be people that are like, yeah, you're silly for that, but Jesus did it first. And I feel like Jesus' steps are so much better to follow than the world's. That's where the rejoice and be glad in your persecution is. It's because Jesus was there before you. And like, his steps are the right one to follow. Like, I hope all y'all know that Jesus knows you and what you're going through. Like, I know there's a lot of hurt and pain going on right now. And like, I don't know what that looks like. I just know that's a thing. But when we read the Beatitudes, like, we know, like, God is there for you. Like, Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount a few thousand years ago, and it can still hit home for all of us. Like, in knowing that, like, Jesus knew that he was going to be hated, and Jesus knew that he was going to die on the cross, but Jesus didn't conform to the world, nor did he, like, fit into it. Because he was hated because of it. I mean, when we choose to follow him, we'll find that some people won't like us. And that's just a fact. Not everyone's going to like us. Hard pill to swallow. But they'll try to tear us down because of it. But Jesus was already torn down, so we wouldn't have to be. In fact, when we hate the hatred, when we face the hatred, we can rejoice because we know that Jesus doesn't want us to be on the path that we're, Satan doesn't want us to be on the path. Need to check that. But Satan doesn't want to be on the path that we're pursuing if we experience that hatred. We can know that we're blessed because Jesus faced the hatred before us. So I'd like to challenge y'all to follow Jesus unapologetically. Love others and show God to them, either through your words or through your actions. And know when you find hatred that you're blessed. I want to close with a verse in John 16:33 because I think it speaks wonders to this topic. And this is Jesus' words. It says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Will you pray with me? God, Dad, just thank you for being so much stronger than we could ever be. Thank you for loving us even though we don't follow you the way we should or the way you want us to be. Thank you for loving us when we hate you at times. Thank you for loving the people who hate you. Thank you for loving the people who hate us, because we were in their shoes at one point. No one person is perfect. No one person is better than the other. I can only stand up here and try to get these words right because you've called me to do it. And if I do get anything right, that's because you worked through me. Dad, that's just how the way you work. All the good we find is of you and for you. Just, I can't fully express my gratitude to all these people of how amazing you are and how grateful I am for you. Just thank you so much for your love and for Jesus, because without him we wouldn't know you. He died one of the most painful deaths imaginable just so we can know you. And even that's a choice. He died for the choice so we can know you. And so your character is beyond compare, and I'm just so grateful for you. So thank you for loving us and allowing us to love others the way you want us to, because you gave us the perfect example through Jesus. It's all in your name. Amen.